The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Chapter 23. The second policy with which Satan labors to defeat the saint, that is, to whisper false fears into his ear, that his prayer is not heard. Now we come to the second stratagem that Satan uses to hinder the success of the Christian's prayer, which I called a partial hindrance or miscarriage thereof, when the prayer itself is not lost, which comes to pass only when it finds not acceptance with God. But when the Christian doth not believe on earth that his prayer is heard in heaven, though indeed it is, and so by his questioning thereof, he loses the revenue of that present peace, which otherwise would be paid in unto him from the expectation of its certain return, with a joyful answer. As a merchant who gives his ship up for lost, when indeed it is safe, richly laden, and only stays for a fair wind, he, not knowing or believing this, puts himself to as much trouble and sorrow, as if it were in truth as he feared. Fancy and imagination, even when without ground and reason, are able to produce real effects and sad consequences in the minds of men. The false news of Joseph's death caused as much sorrow to old Jacob, yea more, than if he had seen him laid out and followed him to the grave. The jailer, from a fear his prisoners were gone, and he being accountable for them, had killed himself by falling on his own sword, if, Paul, had not seasonably cried out, "We are all here, do thyself no harm." And truly our unbelieving fears have no less power upon our hearts. They rob the Christian of the joy of his life, and man is but a sour piece of clay when that is gone. It is not praying, but believing prayer is heard, that will make a glad heart and a cheerful countenance. Hannah often prayed. She was acquainted with her work many years, yet never had the burden of her spirit taken off, till she had faith she should speed. Yea, moreover, fears weaken the spirit of prayer. He that expects little from prayer will not be much in prayer. That trait is best attended to, which it is hoped will pay a man best for his pains in it. Who is there among you, saith God, that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. Malachi 1:10. The husbandman throws his seed freely, because he sows in hope, and his most precious seed on his fattest soil, because there he looks to find it again with the greatest increase. This makes David so fond of praying that he will never leave it. I have prayed, and the Lord hath heard. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. As a merchant finding his precious gain coming in converts his whole estate into stock, so David devotes himself wholly to prayer. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I was in prayer. This was the only weapon I lifted up for my defense against all their darts, whereas unbelief betrays the soul unto many uncomely thoughts of God, which reflect sadly upon his name, so as to weaken his reputation in the creature's thoughts, and bring him either to a disguise of his duty or helpless performance of it. And this Satan loves as his life. When a merchant thinks his goods miscarry, he grows jealous of his factor, questioning his care, faithfulness, or ability to dispatch his business. Such whisperings we shall hear if we listen to our unbelieving hearts sometimes, when our prayers make not so short and quick a voyage as we desire. It was a high charge Job brought against God. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Chapter 30, verse 20. This holy man was now as deep in God's books, and as great a favorite with him as ever. Yet so far had Satan wound into him as to make him listen unto those false reports which he brought unto him of God, taking the advantage of this present cloudy providence to color his calamities, insomuch that he began to give credit unto this liar. Now, if this may become a stone of offense to a Job, how much more mayest thou fear dashing thy foot against it? Let it be thy care to defeat Satan in this spiteful plot against God and thee. Surely it should not be a little matter that makes thee throw up thy prayers and give away so rich an adventure as thou hast swimming in this bottom. Esau hath the brand of a profane person, for so cheaply parting with his inheritance. If thou be a believer, thou art an heir of promise, and among promises this is not the least, that what thou askest in Christ's name, believing, thou shalt receive. If it were profane in Esau to part with his inheritance, how much more is it in thee to part with thy inheritance, which thou canst not do without impeaching the faithfulness of God that gave thee an estate in the promise. We highly commend Job for his heroic resolution at another time. Chapter 27, verse 5. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. How much more should thou say to Satan, God forbid that I should justify thee, thou wicked fiend, or thy false charge against my God. I will hold fast his integrity and faithfulness till I die. Surely Daniel, who ventured his life rather than not pray, would have parted with 1,000 lives rather than have given up his prayers for lost, and thereby have blotted the good name of God, whose faithfulness stands bound to return every prayer of faith with a gracious answer into the saint's bosom. But the more to fortitude you against this design of Satan, let us inquire into a few of those arguments with which Satan leads the Christian into this temptation, if not absolutely to conclude, yet unbelievingly to dispute and question in his heart whether his prayer be heard or no. I shall reduce them to three heads. End of chapter 23.